For more talks and meditations, go to GloriaKGreen.com. Supercharge with self-compassion. Tender self-compassion allows us to accept the discomfort of an unwanted task and to be non-judgmental about our desire to put it off. Fierce self-compassion then propels us to take action so that we do what's needed. The self-compassionate heart is like rocket fuel for getting things done, according to Kristen Neff. Last time we explored ways of recharging our inner energy so we can live life to the fullest. We learned that if we believe we're worth it, we can give ourselves the physical, mental, social, emotional, and spiritual resources we need. So instead of powering through and running on low power mode, we're energized with a charged battery. This helps us to be resilient so we can better cope with the challenges of life. The problem is, if you're like me, you may not believe you're worth it. This feeling of unworthiness comes from the way we treat ourselves. When we make a mistake, we tell ourselves, "I am a mistake." When we let others down, we tell ourselves, "I'm a terrible person," or "I'm a selfish person." When we fail, we tell ourselves, "I'm a failure," or "I am so stupid." In other words, we shame ourselves. And shame only grows if it's left in the dark and in silence. Because of the intense feeling of disgust, we shut down and isolate ourselves from others. Our energy is focused on hiding what we have done instead of fixing it. The ability to feel unashamed while seeing ourselves clearly is one of the most powerful gifts of self-compassion. There are three components of self-compassion. Act as a direct antidote to shame. Mindfulness prevents us from over-identifying with our missteps. Common humanity counteracts feelings of isolation from others. And kindness allows us to feel worthy despite our imperfections. This allows us to see clearly and acknowledge our areas of weakness without defining ourselves by them, according to Kristen Neff. To engage in self-care to recharge our batteries, we must believe we're worth it. The feeling of self-worth that comes from achievements, looking a certain way, or winning someone's approval doesn't last. And it is there when things are going well, but disappears when you need it most. The worthiness that comes from self-compassion is more stable over time. You might look at self-compassion as an inner support system which provides you with resilience. You don't have to earn it. All you have to be is a flawed human being. Self-compassion involves wanting health and well-being for ourselves and for others. It's not putting our needs over the needs of others, but on par with their needs. When we soothe our agitated minds with self-compassion, we're able to notice what's right as well as what's wrong, so we can orient ourselves toward that which gives us joy. Let's take a look at the three facets of self-compassion: mindfulness, self-kindness, and a sense of common humanity. Mindfulness is the idea that we need to see things as they are, no more, no less. This means we need to see that we are suffering. We often fail to recognize negative feelings like loneliness, guilt, unworthiness, sadness as suffering. We have trained our entire lives to deny our suffering. When we offer ourselves the same quality of unconditional kindness we would offer to a friend, we can stop denying our suffering. Our minds tend to focus on the failure itself rather than the pain caused by the failure. Most people tend to immediately go into problem-solving mode. We need to stop for a breath or two, acknowledge that we're suffering, and provide ourselves with a kind, caring response. If we don't, we risk getting exhausted and overwhelmed because we're spending all our energy trying to fix problems without refreshing ourselves. One of the enemies of mindfulness is the process of over-identification, becoming so carried away by our personal drama that we can't clearly see what's occurring in the present moment. When we are mindful, we are aware and accepting of the present moment. Accepting means we are not believing that our present moment experience should be different from what it is. The foundation of self-compassion is the ability to turn mindfully towards our discomfort and acknowledge it. When we're mindful, we know we can let ourselves be open, and we're aware of when we're closing down. With self-compassion, we let ourselves open when we're strong enough and let ourselves close when we need to. Self-kindness begins with stopping the constant self-judgment and the negative stories on our top 10 list. But self-kindness involves more than just merely stopping our inner critic. It includes actively comforting ourselves, just as we would to a dear friend. We can recognize that everyone has times when they blow it, and we can treat ourselves kindly. Kristen Neff says, when we consistently give ourselves nurturance and accept and understanding, we also come to feel worthy of care and acceptance. When we give ourselves empathy and support, we learn to trust that help is always at hand. When we wrap ourselves in the warm embrace of self-kindness, we feel safe and secure. So when we're faced with our human flaws, we can respond with kindness and care, or with judgment and criticism. Responding with kindness provides us the resources needed to cope with the challenges of life. Which neural pathway do you want to strengthen? Kristen Neff says, with self-kindness, we can stop seeing ourselves as a problem to be fixed and begin seeing ourselves as valuable human beings who are worthy of care. The third facet is a common sense of humanity. It acknowledges that we are all perfectly imperfect. We're not the only ones who have failed, been made a fool of, been disappointed, or rejected. Instead of pitying ourselves, we remember that everyone suffers. So instead of getting absorbed by feelings of not good enough, we see the bigger picture, and then more possibilities come into view. The recognition of common humanity is at the core of self-compassion. It requires that we're neither self-focused nor other-focused. Instead, we use wisdom to see the larger whole and figure out what's fair, balanced, and sustainable. With those three facets of self-compassion, we can look at whether or not we have a strong back and a soft front. This concept comes from Joan Halifax. She says, all too often, our so-called strength comes from fear, not love. Instead of having a strong back, many of us have a defended front shielding a weak spine. In other words, we walk around brittle and defensive, trying to conceal our lack of confidence. If we strengthen our backs, metaphorically speaking, and develop a spine that's flexible but sturdy, we can risk having a front that's soft and open, representing choiceless compassion. The place in your body where these two meet, strong back and soft front, is the brave, tender ground in which to root our caring deeply. So there's two types of self-compassion, according to Kristen Neff. The soft front, or tender self-compassion, is soft, yielding, receptive, and nurturing, like a mother holding and comforting a crying baby. It involves being with ourselves in a comforting, soothing, and accepting way. We care and nurture ourselves. The strong back, or fierce self-compassion, is firm, forceful, commanding, and goal-oriented. With fierce self-compassion, we act in the world to uphold our true selves and stand up for our rights and needs. Think of it as having the backbone with the ability to set healthy boundaries. When our back is strong, we don't need to harden or close down our front. As we act to protect, provide for, or motivate ourselves, fierce self-compassion sometimes expresses itself as anger. If the fierce expression of anger is balanced with tender concern, it can be a healthy and constructive force. There are times where we need more tender self-compassion, other times we need more fierce self-compassion, but we always need some of both. Tender self-compassion allows us to accept the discomfort of an unwanted task and to be non-judgmental about our desire to put it off. Fierce self-compassion then propels us to take action so that we do what's needed. The self-compassionate heart is like a rocket for getting things done, according to Kristen Neff. When we're self-compassionate, we acknowledge that our needs matter. We have the strength to be true to ourselves, and we trust that even when we blow it, we'll be supportive to ourselves. We don't get so upset when things go wrong because we know that's part of being human. We're works in progress, so tender self-compassion reassures us when we don't succeed, and fierce self-compassion inspires us to try again.